Face the hammer. West Wing, the president's first public reaction after the firing of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, attacks on the media and the intelligence community.
General Flynn is a wonderful man. I think he's been treated very, very unfairly by the media, as I call it, the fake media in many cases. I think in addition to that, from intelligence, papers are being leaked, things are being leaked. It's criminal action, criminal act.
Yep, it sure is. Trump's definitely onto something here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thor's Hammer Radio. I'm your host, Alex Thorson. We got a lot to talk about for this week. First and foremost is Michael Flynn, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who faced a whole slew of attack from the media and from the Democrats and ended up resigning. And the word is he essentially forced out by members of Trump's administration, particularly it looks like Rince Priebus, that snake, and Vice President Mike Pence. But there's a bigger story, ladies and gentlemen, one that the media is not going to get into, and it's these illegal leaks by members of the intelligence community. You know it's illegal for not just a member of intelligence community, anyone who's trusted with classified information, you know it's illegal for them to just give it to a reporter or someone who's not authorized? Yeah, just ask General David Petraeus how that worked out for him. That's exactly what he did with his lover that he had there, and he ended up having to pay the price for it. Now, Petraeus knew full well that what he did was wrong, and he owned up to it. But these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats in the intelligence community? Oh no. No, they won't. And let me tell you something, too. These illegal leaks that they're doing, that they're giving out little tidbits of information here and there, little snippets, and they're leaking it specifically and about certain people. Yeah, that's what we call a police state tactic. That's exactly what that is. And let me tell you something else. These clowns in the intelligence community, the bureaucrats there, they won't ever release the full thing. Here's my thing. Just release the full transcript. If they got this whole transcript stuff up about Michael Flynn and his phone calls, I say, okay, release the whole thing and let's see it. Put the cards on the table. But they won't do it. No, they have this whole trove of information and they're only going to release little tidbits here and there. And there's a further thing here, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think that Mike Flynn was the only one that was a target of these intercepts, these phone calls? You've got the typical French Republicans, the surrender Republicans, that they kind of want to blow this off, they want to push it behind them. Several of them say, well, it's a moot point to look at it now because Flynn's already been fired. Yeah, do you think that Flynn was the only one being investigated? Keep in mind, too, these intercepts are done by the Obama administration. When these phone calls were being monitored, it was when Donald Trump was still president-elect. Barack Obama was still the president. And so he was the one who was doing this phone tapping, or ordering this phone tapping. And let me tell you something else. You can't just get the ability or the authorization to do this out of nowhere. You have to get a warrant for this. You have to go through the special FISA courts in order to get that warrant. What did Barack Obama know, and when did he know it? Because you have to get FISA court authorization in order to get these kind of warrants to do these intercepts. Otherwise, it's illegal what happened. These intercepts that happened were illegal. And you've got the idiot libs out there that are saying that Mike Flynn violated the Logan Act. Are you kidding me? The Logan Act? Now, these clowns don't even know what's in the Logan Act, too. Here, let's take a look at the Logan Act, what it actually says. So here's the Logan Act, which is considered pretty outdated. Well, a few things about this act. Number one, there's been a lot of debate as to the constitutionality of this act with regards to freedom of speech. Number two, not a single person in the history of the United States has ever been charged under this act. And believe me, there have been several that very well could have been. Ted Kennedy, John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi. And number three, the act itself states it's not just you have contact with a foreign government. You have to have intent to work against the United States. Here's the act, the actual text. Any citizen of the United States, wherever he may be, who, without authority of the United States, directly or indirectly, commences or carries on any correspondence or intercourse with any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof, with intent to influence the measures or conduct of any foreign government or any officer or agent thereof in relation to any disputes or controversies with the United States, or to defeat the measures of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. This section shall not abridge the right of a citizen to apply himself or his agent to any foreign government or the agents thereof for redress of any injury which he may have sustained from such government or any of its agents or subjects. In other words, in order to even remotely be in the lane of being charged under this, you have to have intent to essentially work against the United States, conspiring with a foreign government. Let me ask you, was General Mike Flynn, was he conspiring to bring down the Trump administration by talking to this Russian ambassador? No, Flynn did not do anything wrong. And this is just the dumbest thing ever with the Logan Act. Wasn't too long ago, ladies and gentlemen, that the liberals out there, you remember back when there were 47 senators who signed their name to a letter that was sent to the Ayatollah in Iran? This was right after Obama did his whole Iran deal. Well, these 47 senators penned a letter and signed their name to it, sent it to Iran, and told the Ayatollah about the constitutional system of government and told them about their legislative power. Essentially, they were asserting their legislative power, their congressional power. You know that there were leftists who were saying that they violated the Logan Act in doing this? How stupid is that? This is what I'm talking about. These clowns don't know the law at all. They twist the law to try and fit their own personal needs every single time, their own personal goals. What the left is doing is they're criminalizing politics. That's exactly what this is. But going back to this thing with Mike Flynn and these leaks that are coming out, I can tell you from being in the military as a military officer that every single person who's entrusted with classified data, you have to go through this what's called information assurance awareness training. And you have to do this every single year. And you have to go through every single type of classified data and what kind of attacks and what happens if a bit of information leaks to something else. When you take classified data and it goes into an unclassified server or unclassified location, there's a term for that. It's called spillage. In fact, it even applies if you, say, take top secret information and put it on a secret server. And I dealt with this because I used to have a secret security clearance, and so I'm quite familiar with how this works. And if the information that you're entrusted with happens to get on there, even if you didn't intend it, but it just happens to get there, it's called being negligent. You can be charged under it. In fact, there have been several who have. This is the exact reason why there were so many in the intel community, mainly the agents, not these unelected bureaucrats that seem to go all Marxist and social justice warrior. And I'll get into them too in a bit. But many in the military, this is why we had such a huge problem with Hillary Clinton and her private server. She knowingly put classified material on an unclassified server. She created spillage, is the term. That's exactly what she did. Now let me tell you, when these intelligence community little bureaucrats there, when they leak these bits of classified information to reporters, yeah, they're not authorized. These reporters are not authorized to have classified information. So that's what they're doing. They leak this stuff to them. And that's illegal. As I said, you need to get a FISA warrant in order to even get these phone intercepts of people in the United States like this. And it's only for certain investigatory purposes. And apparently that's what the Obama administration, that's what they were doing. They were trying to investigate Trump. They were investigating their political opponent. Yeah, that sounds like a free republic to you? Now, that sounds more like police state Gestapo kind of crap to me. I've had about enough of this crap. And I'm sick of, it's like the legacy, the crap legacy of Obama seems to keep looming over our heads like this nasty dust cloud that just won't go away. Makes you cough everywhere. I have a feeling we're going to be dealing with this for a long time because you got a lot of these radical leftist bureaucrats that are all over the government and they're put there by Obama and they're not going to be going away for a while. And I'll tell you something else too. I am sick of these damn liberals, these damn leftists. I'm sick of this damn media trashing the hell out of a good man, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. He's an honorable man, he's an ardent patriot, and he's a military veteran. Yeah, I hope you're proud of yourselves, media. I really hope you're proud of yourselves, you cowardly pack of jackals, gleefully patting yourselves on the back as you attack this man. For what? Because he had a phone conversation with a Russian ambassador? I mean, good grief. He's not Nancy Pelosi talking to Bashar al-Assad, trying to undermine U.S. foreign policy. He's not Bernie Sanders meeting with the Sandinistas in Nicaragua behind Reagan's back. He's not John Kerry or, oh, who was that other one? Hanoi Jane, right? Jane Fonda meeting with a Viet Cong during the Vietnam War and throwing our soldiers under the bus. He's not Ted Kennedy, who sent a letter directly to Yuri Andropov through the KGB and asking the Soviets to directly interfere with a 1984 U.S. election to overthrow Ronald Reagan. Yeah, Flynn didn't do any of those things. He just had a phone conversation with the ambassador trying to build a rapport to help the Trump administration. And yet, you pack of jackals, these fake media, mainstream media types, they're gleefully patting themselves on the back. Oh yes, look what we did. They can't help themselves. Hell, they even attack private citizens, like this guy on YouTube, Mr. PewDiePie. And I'll get into that in a later on in the segment about him too. Because this is insane what the media is doing. They're out to destroy people. They're destroying a good man, Mike Flynn. Well, I know there's several in the surrender caucus of the Republican Party and their surrogates that don't really want to fight for this man. I will, as a fellow veteran, I'm going to stand by this man. And by the way, there have been several who have worked for Mike Flynn who have stood up and are standing up and talking about this man's character and what a good man he is and how they'd fight for him and how they'd do anything for him. And by the way, I'm also pretty annoyed at the Trump administration too. Look, Donald Trump needs to realize something. I'm saying this to help him out, not to hurt his administration. This is kind of a make-or-break thing for Trump. Trump can either go one of two ways. He can either go the Richard Nixon route. And the Richard Nixon route is to cave into everything that the left wants. That's exactly how we got the Environmental Protection Agency. It's because Richard Nixon caved. Or Trump can do the Ronald Reagan route and stand up to the left and stand up to the media. My advice for Trump is on this. You need to stick by your staff. You need to stick by them because Trump is the real target. What the left is trying to do is they're trying to pick apart Trump's staff one at a time. They're trying to take them out because they want to get to Trump. They're trying to cause confusion and they're trying to sow chaos. And here's another bit that a bit of advice I'd have for Trump too. His greatest facet, really, is when he speaks. Now, I'm not talking about press conferences, because obviously, as we've seen, he can stumble quite a bit during press conferences. No, what I mean is when Trump goes out and gives speeches like he did at his rallies. He had crowds in the thousands. If Trump really wants to kind of bring out the Ronald Reagan side of it, what he should do is make a speech. Go and make a speech and speak directly to the American people. Go over the heads of the media and the leftists and all those other clowns that keep trying to push this crap around. Look, I know Donald Trump's got Twitter, but there's only so much you can say in 144 characters? No, go out and make an actual speech, just like Reagan used to do at the Oval Office, behind the camera. Make a speech and tell the American people what's going on, what you're trying to do, and stand by your staff. Because if you go the Richard Nixon route where you surrender everything, guess what? You're never going to please the left. It doesn't matter what concessions you give them, they are always going to hate you. They've already painted Donald Trump as literally Hitler, and all of his supporters, even the ones who aren't necessarily supporters but will defend him, they painted them all as fascists. So there's no point in trying to please them. Go over their heads and talk directly to the American people. Alright, that's enough of that rant for a bit. Now I want to go into a couple stories here about this Mike Flynn resignation that kind of shed some light on some additional behind-the-scenes stuff that's really not being reported by the media, of course, because they're in the tank for the libs. Well, let's take a look at this. So this is Hat Tip Washington Free Beacon by Mr. Adam Credo. And he talks about former Obama administration officials and loyalists waged a secret campaign to oust Flynn. That's the title of the headline here. So what he's going on talking about, and he kind of highlights the main bit of it. So Mike Flynn, he was a true reformer. He had a lot of enemies within the intel community because he was trying to reform it. And of course he was, for those of you who remember, Mike Flynn, he actually retired about a year early under the Obama administration because he was fed up with him, especially over this Iran nuclear deal. And a lot of these clowns that are working behind the back to oust him, they want to preserve this Iran nuclear deal. And this is part of it. And Mike Flynn has been very critical of Barack Obama. And that's why this man has earned a lot of enemies. So the effort, said to include former Obama administration advisor Ben Rhodes. Yeah, this Ben Rhodes, if you remember, he was the wannabe novelist, the guy who went around lying to the American people, to everybody, and he enjoyed doing it. Ben Rhodes, the architect of a separate White House effort to create what he described as a pro-Iran echo chamber. Yeah, just think about that one. Included in a small task force of Obama loyalists who deluged media outlets with stories aimed at eroding Flynn's credibility. Again, so they were out to smear this guy. They were out to get him. And it's because this guy was highly critical of Obama. He's obviously an opponent of the Iran nuclear deal, which, of course, even with all the secret side deals, Iran still violates it all the time. And Flynn, he was a true reformer, wanted to reform a lot of this pile of crap that is the bureaucracy of the intel community. The operation primarily focused on discrediting Flynn in order to handicap the Trump administration's efforts to disclose secret details of the nuclear deal with Iran that had been long hidden by the Obama administration. Yeah, remember how all those little snippets of reports that came out after this deal was signed about all these secret side deals, including, by the way, one side deal that had us having to physically defend Iran's nuclear sites if they came under attack. So if, like, our ally Israel launched a first strike in order to stop Iran, because the crazy Islamo-Nazis, borrow a quote from the great one, Mark Levin there, the Islamo-Nazis in Tehran, if they wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the planet, which they constantly want to do, and Israel launched an attack, one of those secret deals would mandate that we have to send our soldiers, my fellow battle brothers, to defend their nuclear sites. They're the enemy. Iran's the enemy. And yet Obama made a deal with these Islamo-Nazi bastards. He goes on. Insiders familiar with the anti-Flynn campaign told the Free Beacon that these Obama loyalists plotted in months before Trump's inauguration to establish a set of roadblocks before Trump's national security teams. which includes several prominent opponents of diplomacy with Iran. The Beacon first reported on this effort in January. Sources who spoke with the Free Beacon requested anonymity in order to speak freely about the situation and avoid interfering with the White House's official narrative about Flynn, which centers on his failure to adequately inform the president about a series of phone calls. Yeah, so the way the narrative is being spun, and again, this is something that I'm really not pleased with the Trump administration with this, how they really kind of pushed Flynn out of the way and they didn't put up a fight on this one. So apparently the narrative is that Flynn didn't disclose everything to Vice President Mike Pence. All Pence has to do is just get up in front. He's been real silent about this. All Pence has to do is get up and say, hey, look, what he told me, he said he didn't remember everything. He made a mistake. It's not a big deal. That's all he has to say. Mike Pence, all he has to say is that, hey, look, it wasn't a big deal. He just couldn't remember everything and didn't tell me everything at the time, but he made up for it and we're good. That's all he's got to do. I'm amazed that Mike Pence hasn't just done this. I mean, you think a guy who's a devout Christian, well, obviously should believe in, well, you know, redemption and forgiveness. Again, and Mike Pence is a conservative. Come on now. You got to grow a spine here. However, multiple sources closely involved in the situation pointed to a larger, more secretive campaign aimed at discrediting Flynn and undermining the Trump White House. Again, so Flynn was the stepping stone. He's the foil, okay? This is what I was talking about earlier. They're trying to pick apart Trump's staff one at a time, and they're starting with Flynn. Because he was their biggest enemy in terms of his anti-Iran deal stance, his wanting to reform the intelligence community, and Flynn would have been a great guy to do it, believe me. It's undeniable that the campaign to discredit Flynn was well underway before Inauguration Day, with a very troublesome and politicized series of leaks designed to undermine him. And again, might I add, these leaks, they were illegal. They were members of the intelligence community selectively leaking certain tidbits of classified information, to reporters. So they're already violating the Espionage Act here. And again, these leaks, these phone intercepts, you have to get a FISA court to get a warrant for them. You can't just take them as you wish, because that'd be a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Said one veteran national security advisor with close ties to the White House team. This pattern reminds me of the lead-up to the Iran deal and probably features the same cast of characters. Well, yeah, of course. A bunch of Barack Obama hacks. Like usual. We're going to be dealing with this for a long time to come. The Free Beacon first reported in January that, until its final days in office, the Obama administration hosted several pro-Iran voices who were critical in helping to mislead the American public about the terms of the nuclear agreement. This included a former Iranian government official and the head of the National Iranian American Council, which has been accused of serving as Iran's mouthpiece in Washington, D.C. Yeah, the Islamo-Nazis' mouthpiece. Yeah. The leading state sponsor of Islamic terrorism, their mouthpiece, yeah. It's actually Ben Rhodes, the NIAC, and the Iranian mullahs who are celebrating today, one veteran foreign policy advisor who is close to Flynn and the White House. They know that the number one target is Iran, and they all knew that their little sacred agreement with Iran was going to go off the books. So they got rid of Flynn before any of the secret agreements even surfaced. Which, this tells you something. All of those little leaks that came out before about these secret side agreements, well, guess what? What they're implying is that wasn't all of them. There's more agreements that we don't know about. That's the problem. And they wanted to get rid of Flynn so that these other agreements wouldn't come up. They're still deceiving the American people, this damn Obama administration, or former Obama administration. They're still lying to us, and they're still trying to cover it up. And the media won't get on this. Flynn is now gone before anybody can see what happened with these secret agreements, said a second insider close to Flynn and the White House. One senior White House official told the Free Beacon that leaks targeting the former official were not a result of a series of random events. Yeah, these were targeted leaks. He goes on, the drumbeat of leaks of sensitive material related to General Flynn has been building since he was named to his position. said the official, who is a member of the White House's National Security Council. Last night was not the result of a series of random events. The president has lost a valuable advisor, and we need to make sure this sort of thing does not happen again. The larger issue is that should trouble the American people is the far-reaching power of the unknown, unelected apparatchiks in the intelligence community. Yeah, the bureaucrats, the unelected shadow government that they guess want to make themselves to be, deciding for themselves both who serves in government and what is an acceptable policy that they will allow the elected representatives of the people to pursue. So what he's alluding to here is that the intelligence community, these bureaucrats in there, they're basically setting themselves up as a shadow government. So we're not supposed to go along, or we're not supposed to know the policies and procedures and the goals of the elected government that is accountable to us. No, we're supposed to follow this unelected, unaccountable intelligence community, this shadow government. Yeah, I don't think so. Not gonna happen. And let me tell you something else about, like, some of these clowns out there, like this, what was his name? Evan McMuffin, McMullen, that one guy who ran for president. Yeah, he's coming out and saying, he's quoting the Soldier's Oath about his stance against Trump and basically the intelligence community's little coup against him. Yeah, let me tell you something there, Mr. McMuffin, McMullen. How dare you bastardize the Soldier's Oath and use it to try and justify your completely illegal actions in this little silent coup you're trying to do. I'm a veteran too, and I know my damn oath. And that is not what soldiers do. We do not engage in a coup to overthrow an elected government to bring in some kind of authoritarian deep state. Now, that's not what we soldiers are for. That's not what we took our oath for. And I call upon all of my fellow veterans to stand against people like Evan McMullen and stand against the intelligence community in this little authoritarian coup that they're trying to do. That is absolutely not what veterans and currently serving soldiers should be doing, ever. All right, he goes on to the Free Beacon. Eli Lake, a Bloomberg View columnist and veteran national security reporter, a very good reporter too, well-sourced in the White House, told the Free Beacon that Flynn earned a reputation in the Obama administration as one of its top detractors. So Mike Flynn was hated by the Obama administration. Michael Flynn was one of the Obama admin's fiercest critics after he was forced out of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Said Lake, who described the political assassination of Michael Flynn in his column early Tuesday. Flynn was a withering critic of Obama's biggest foreign policy initiative, the Iran deal, Lake said. He also publicly accused the administration of keeping classified documents found in the Osama bin Laden raid that showed Iran's closer relationship with Al-Qaeda. He was a thorn in their side. Lake noted in his column that he does not buy fully the White House's official spin on Flynn's resignation. For a White House that has such a casual and an opportunistic relationship with the truth, it's strange that Flynn's lie, quote-unquote, to Pence would get him fired. It doesn't add up. Exactly. Now, Lake's onto something here. It really doesn't add up. Again, all Pence had to do was say, look, he didn't remember everything, but it's not a big deal, and he apologized, and I'm cool with it. That's all he had to say. But yeah, it doesn't add up. No, this was as has been laid out in this article, and just looking from a common sense, rational standpoint, this was a targeted takedown of a guy who Barack Obama and his administration, they hated, because Flynn was 100% against this Iran deal, and he was going to bring out a whole bunch of secrets that we, the American people, still don't know about with this Iran deal, even with these little side deal leaks that have come out. This is a big story that, of course, the media, the mainstream media, they won't cover. No, they're just focused on, oh, hey, rah, rah, look at us. Look at us. We ganged up and bullied and took down a good, honorable man because we're a bunch of pathetic cowards. Yeah, that's the media for you. Now, this part got me fired up. Because, as a fellow veteran, I stand by Mike Flynn. He's a good and honorable man, an ardent patriot, and a fellow soldier. I stand by him, and even if the Trump administration doesn't really want to defend him, yes, Trump offered some words, but again, his administration, it's been kind of back and forth. Trump needs to take a stand. He really does. He needs to take the Ronald Reagan approach and stand up to these bastards. Well, I will. I will stand for Mike Flynn. Alright, we're going to take a break here. We can get back into our next segment. We're going to talk about the whining media. Obama, right before he left office, he gave massive, unprecedented power to the NSA, this broad scope of authority to spy on people, to continue to do their thing that they'd always been doing, but expanded it broadly. And he did this right before he left office. Gee, how convenient, too. And now that the intelligence community seems to be waging this coup against Donald Trump. Well, anyway, welcome back to the show, to Thor's Hammer Radio. As always, I'm your host, Alex Thorson. You can contact me right on the website at www.thorshammerradio.com. You also follow me on Twitter, Alex Thorson, at Thor Hammer Radio. Now for our next segment, we'll be getting into the whining media. Yes, whining about how they've been called the enemy of the people and how Donald Trump has been attacking them.
I see being called fake news as the equivalent of the N-word for journalists, the equivalent of calling an Italian any of the ugly words that people have for that ethnicity. That's what fake news is to a journalist. It is an ugly insult, and you better be right if you're going to charge a journalist with lying on
Chris Cuomo,
the president,
Mr. Prophet
was not
himself.
Right here, and he's not been
right. That's
in
enough
the past.
Of him. Yeah, Chris Cuomo. The same Cuomo who said it's illegal for us, the plebs, to read the WikiLeaks emails, but it's different for the media. The same Chris Cuomo who said that it was George W. Bush who signed NAFTA, not Bill Clinton. Yeah, that Chris Cuomo. We got a lot of reason to see the media as the fake media, the fake mainstream media. For all those fake stories that they've been pushing out. Like this whole Russia swung the election to Donald Trump. There's literally no hard evidence on that whatsoever. None. There's no hard evidence. You take a look at the actual intelligence community's little report that they have. They're a completely bogus report. The first several pages are nothing but diagrams and definitions. The actual body of the report is 14 pages, by my recollection. Now, I'm suggesting read the actual report, not the mainstream media's commentary on it. Starting from page 3, if I remember right, and going through the remainder, it's this whole long bit about how Russia Today and other Russian outlets are nothing but propaganda. Oh, gee, like I didn't know that. What, did you forget about Pravda? You forget what they were? A state-run media that's a propaganda outlet for the Russian government. Yeah, that's nothing new. That is nothing new. We've been dealing with that for decades. And in fact, buried, I believe on page 3, buried in this little paragraph in that report, it says, with regards to local and state elections, the Russians had no interference whatsoever in vote tallying. Yeah, so even that bogus report that the IC came out with, it completely debunked the media and the left's narrative that Russia had the election. And the media went on and on about that fake news forever. And they're still pushing this fake crap about Russia swinging everything to Trump. It's swinging the election to Trump. Yeah. Yeah, the fake media that has fomented violence and fomented hate towards Trump supporters, towards conservatives in general, anyone who's not on the left, and also towards police officers, they've been given legitimacy to groups like Black Lives Matter and to these anarchist groups, and people have paid the price for it. Yes, that's right. The media is criminally complicit in this. When my fellow brothers in blue have been gunned down because of this hatred that's been fomented because of groups like Black Lives Matter and these other radical domestic terrorist groups, yes, the media is absolutely criminally complicit in this. When the media has fomented violence against Trump supporters by saying that they're responsible for the violence, when they foment hatred against people like Milo Yiannopoulos saying that he basically deserved it, and when they foment violence against conservatives in general, like when the media gleefully laughed about when Bristol Palin, the daughter of Sarah Palin, when she was, they had her on tape, hysterical because there was a assault and battery that happened involving, I believe it was her brother, older brother, Track. Yeah, the media was laughing all about that, about Bristol Palin being hysterical and in tears, fomenting violence against a family there. When the media, you had that idiot Simone Sanders who was laughing about that man that got dragged out of his car and beat by four or five thugs in Chicago. The media's downplaying that kid, that the mentally handicapped kid that got kidnapped by those four thugs, what, at this the beginning of the year in Chicago. Remember the whole torture video that streamed on Facebook Live? And they were trying to downplay that, like, wow, I'm not sure if it's really a hate crime. I mean, what was that idiot Mark Lamont Hill, the one who said that black people can't be racist? Yeah. Yeah, this same media is criminally complicit in fomenting hatred towards individual Americans. They've been targeting people for just anything they can think of. In my last segment, I'll get all into this deal with the guy PewDiePie, the biggest YouTube star, and how the media is smearing him and attacking him. And that's his livelihood. He makes money off that. That's how he makes his income. And the media has no problem attacking people like him and destroying their career, destroying their livelihood. It's just sickening what this media does. And they have the nerve to complain that we're calling them fake news, even though they've done nothing but spew fake crap. Hell, you had that one moron, Joe Scarborough, on that morning schmo that has, what, like five viewers? He straight out admitted that the media had become nothing but cheerleaders for Hillary Clinton. At least he had some sense of honesty. He had a brief moment of lucidity. I mean, this media has been caught time and again selectively editing, gatekeeping, quote, accidentally cutting the feed when they're interviewing somebody and they stray off the narrative. They've done this repeatedly. And when they foment violence and hatred, and it has real consequences, innocent people are getting hurt, seriously hurt sometimes. You get police officers, they can get gunned down, and the media is criminally complicit in trying to give legitimacy to these domestic hate groups. These groups that foment violence against police, they have marches through the street where they chant, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it? Now. Or pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. And the media reports them as, oh, they're just protesters, they're exercising their free speech. Yeah, and then when you have people that actually act on that, the media tries to downplay that too and say, well, this isn't associated with it. They're giving legitimacy to domestic terrorist groups. That's what they're doing. How much media coverage did you see of all those Project Veritas videos, including the one where it was the Antifa people, the Antifa domestic terrorists, who were planning a domestic terrorist attack on that deplorable? How much mainstream media coverage did you see of that? No, instead, they attack James O'Keefe, saying he's, what, not a real reporter? Nah, O'Keefe is a real reporter doing actual investigative journalism. They're not. Here's the truth about the mainstream media. They don't care about freedom of the press. They really don't. And I'll prove this to you. Take a look at this article here, and I'll comment on this at length, but I'll go into this. This article is hat-tipped, The Washington Times, Kelly Riddell. And the article is titled, "The Mainstream Media Whines as Trump Picks on the Lesser Established News Outlets." So she goes into it. So the mainstream media isn't liking the new setup at the White House. Lesser-name news outlets are being called on during press briefings rather than the old established bellwethers. Both ones that were called upon failed to ask about security advisor or former security advisor General Mike Flynn. The mainstream media immediately pounced, saying Mr. Trump was picking favorites. Yeah, well, what do you think of Barack Obama was doing? The way he ganged up on places like Fox News and the mainstream media all jumped in with him. Yeah, like the way Obama ganged up on Major Garrett and CNN, then ganged up along with Obama, saying that idiot Dana Bash, saying how Major Garrett was out of line and disrespectful. Yeah. She goes on, "By handpicking reporters, Trump manages to get through a news conference without being asked about Flynn," New York Times reporter Peter Baker lamented on Twitter, failing to mention that all U.S. presidents handpick reporters. Yeah, they sure do. "By handpicking friendly reporters, to be fair, the previous White House also handpicked reporters, but it was very different than this." Yeah, it sure was different, because the vast majority of the mainstream media were all political shills and hacks for Barack Obama. They were propagandist tools, so Barack Obama had a wide variety of these partisan clowns he could pick on. Let's see, some guy, Haddas Gold, yeah, it's a nice name, at Politico, quoted NBC journalist Brian Williams. Yeah, you mean the fake news Brian Williams? You know, the Brian Williams who was in the chopper getting shot at, that fake news guy? Yeah. Who noted on air what wasn't being asked at the press conference, adding that the New York Times and Washington Post weren't called upon. Deputy Washington editor of the New York Times, Jonathan Weissman, wasn't pleased. Biggest papers in the U.S. blare headlines on embattled national security advisor Flynn. Trump calls on the Wall Street, the WJLA. Yeah, not Wall Street, the WJLA. And Daily Caller, no Flynn questions. Well, that's up to the reporters. That's not up to Trump. The mainstream, and she goes on, "The mainstream media, especially CNN, the New York Slimes, and the Washington Compost, have been largely combative of Mr. Trump's presidency. Why would they think that they would then be given preferential treatment at his press conferences? Because they're establishment?" Yeah, and she's quite right on this one. You got these mainstream media clowns that they think they're entitled. That's what it's about. And they don't like that these smaller outlets are being called upon. This is what it comes down to. They see, the mainstream media here, they see the smaller, independent, the new media, they see them as the competition. They don't like that the competition is now getting a voice. When Donald Trump held his first press conference, when he was president-elect, and he attacked the BuzzFeed primarily, and CNN, and keep in mind, this was right after that completely idiotic Golden Shower story, that completely fake story that CNN did push through. They started that narrative when they hinted that there may be potentially very damaging personal information. And then BuzzFeed went a step further and published the damn fake documents themselves. Well then, Trump, and they did this right before his press conference, so that Trump would have to defend himself and be flustered. And at the same time, Obama was doing his farewell address, his farewell little speech, and he looked all presidential and all calm, collected. Yeah, this was a hit piece on Trump. And then Trump attacked Acosta, CNN's Jim Acosta, and CNN, of course, and then also BuzzFeed. And then the mainstream media was painting it as Trump's attack of the media, and he's all authoritarian. Yeah, except Trump didn't repeal, he didn't revoke any press passes. He had every reason to take away press passes from BuzzFeed and CNN, and many were calling for it. But Trump didn't do any of that. In fact, no, actually what he did is he expanded the press pool. Let me tell you something, media, and anyone listening in. When you expand the pool of information, that's the exact opposite of what authoritarian types do. The exact opposite of what dictators do. The dictators out there, they shrink the pool of information. When Barack Obama was going around talking about fake news, spinning up the whole fake news narrative that the media came up with, and Hillary Clinton, by the way, they invented this damn narrative, this fake news crap. And when Obama, and he was going around about this, trying to filter out the quote-unquote fake news and sites like Facebook and other sites, they're trying to basically censor so-called fake news. Yeah, that's authoritarian. Because their criteria is anyone who doesn't have the same propaganda as them, anyone who doesn't have the same ideology as them. That's their criteria for fake news, as they put it. So, Trump's doing literally the exact opposite of what an authoritarian type would do, which is to shrink the pool of information. Trump is expanding it because he hasn't taken away any press passes from the mainstream media, and he's giving a voice to the smaller independent news outlets to let them ask questions. And this goes to a larger point. These media types have been pushing this narrative, this completely partisan propagandist narrative, for a long time now. And they've been calling themselves the arbiter of truth, the arbiter of a free society. How completely bogus that is. They are not the arbiters of truth. You hear me, mainstream media? You are not the arbiters of truth. You never have been ever since you became completely partisan shills for the Democrats. The mainstream media does not care about the truth, and they are not the arbiters of a free society either. What makes a free society is the principle of separation of powers. It's the principle of checks and balances, and you didn't give a damn about that when Barack Obama completely eroded that and centralized all the authority as much as he could on the executive. When he completely, well, every time Obama said, well, if Congress doesn't act, then I will. Yeah, every time he bypassed the legislature like that, and all this power that's been going towards the courts to override elected decisions, to override the will of the people to vote, yeah, that is a breakdown of separation powers, and the media didn't give a damn about that. So don't give me this crap about they're the arbiters of a free society. They're not. They are not the arbiters of truth either. Like, what happened recently? So Donald Trump held a rally, and that's good. That goes to my point a little bit earlier, where he should draw on his strength here. And he talked about the issues going on over in Europe, and he mentioned Sweden. And what he was referring to Ami Horowitz's documentary called Stockholm Syndrome, and that's the name of the documentary. And he was talking about the migrant crisis in Sweden and the tons of rapes there. And the media was trying to poke fun at Trump for this, saying, oh, how stupid is Trump? What's he talking about? What terrorist attack? And they're trying to cite people in Sweden, the Swedish government, for it. And CNN had this idiotic article where they talked about, look, we did a study, we looked at the Sweden numbers, and, you know, from 2012 to 2015, there was only a overall crime increase of about 7%, and the overall population increased only about 3%, and they don't go into much details on the numbers. This is what I'm talking about with their completely just misreporting, their complete lies, their omissions. Here's what CNN's not telling you in this. One, they're not telling you the context, which is the fact that the crime rate is increasing, which, by the way, is the exact opposite of the trend. Yeah, the trend going into the millennium and beyond is that the crime rate overall has been decreasing in the Western world. Yet in Sweden, the crime rate has been increasing. Here's another thing that the media won't tell you. They won't tell you that the migrants, the Muslim migrants, are far overrepresented in the crime statistics, in all the rapes and the A and Bs, the assault and batteries. Yeah, they won't tell you this, that the migrants are the ones who are far overrepresented. And it's not by a small amount. It's a huge amount they're overrepresented. And you've got people in Sweden, including Sweden's top police officer, who's speaking out on this. And there's one more thing the media is not reporting or not telling you in that article. The CNN's not. They're not telling you that the Swedish government literally stopped reporting this stuff. In other words, the Swedish government, ever since, I believe, 2015, they're covering this up. This is exactly what the German government and the German police did with regards to Cologne and all the rapes and all the crimes being committed by the migrants. So you've got these European governments that are literally covering up the migrant crimes, and CNN's reporting on this without revealing that bit of information, trying to tell you, like, hey, look how wrong Trump is. They're literally lying about the actual statistics, about the actual facts, omitting key pieces of information to try and keep their completely failed narrative alive, when all one has to do is just go to Sweden with a damn video camera, and you can see for yourself what's going on there. And several have, and have seen neighborhoods and refugee centers on fire, literally. These media types, they're pathetic. They really are. And here's what gets me the most about the media. When they fuel this narrative of fear and hatred, and they promote violence against... They literally do. They literally promote justified violence by giving legitimacy to these hate groups. And then the media, like a bunch of cowards, these mainstream media cowards, when they're confronted on it, they want to back away and say, well, hey, it wasn't us. It wasn't us. They want to hide behind their cameras and say, well, it wasn't us. We were just reporting on it. We didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, you fueled that narrative, and you gave legitimacy to these hate groups. Where exactly do you think the whole hands-up-don't-shoot narrative gained so much national traction? It's because of the media. Where do you think all this Islamophobia, quote-unquote, and this quote, hatred against immigrants in general, where do you think that narrative got its traction? It came from the mainstream media. It came from the mainstream media. All this stuff that the media's put out, they're absolutely responsible for this. The media was the one reported all year about it was Trump supporters who were responsible for the violence and how Trump was engaging in Hitlerian and fascist tendencies, and his supporters were akin to white supremacists. The media reported endlessly on how David Duke, the KKK guy, endorsed Trump. Like Trump has any control over over people's personal opinions, like who decides to endorse him. Don't buy into this mainstream media crap narrative that, oh, they're just reporting, they had nothing to do with it. Yeah, the mainstream media, they are the enemies of the people. When they push this legitimized violence against really anyone who's not a leftist. And they need to be held to account for this. And all their whining about how Trump is attacking them, guess what? The average everyday American who's not hyper-politicized, they don't care about you. Yeah, I got news for you, mainstream media. We don't like you at all. We don't care for your whining. In fact, a lot of Americans see Trump as a guy who walked into the room full of idiots and told them they're all a bunch of idiots and telling them off. And they like that about Trump. Yeah, so you better get out of your little bubble there. Time for reality to crash the party and get you out of your safe space. And mainstream media, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Alright, folks, we're going to take a break from this segment, and coming up, we're going to talk about PewDiePie, and I'm also going to get into Milo Yiannopoulos, too, because this just broke here on Monday, so I'll go into this as well. Alright, we'll be right back on Thor's Hammer Radio. Now, baby, like a dog. Thor's Hammer Radio. I'm your host, Alex Thorson. Well, before we get into PewDiePie and Milo Yiannopoulos, a little update here. Looks like Donald Trump has now tapped Lieutenant General H.R. McMasters to be the new National Security Advisor. This is a very good pick. I'm very glad that Donald Trump is picking generals and just very good people in general. And in fact, looks like General McMasters has a lot of support amongst Republicans and conservatives. So that's good. I'm still pretty peeved about the treatment of Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, and not just from the media and the Surrender Caucus Republicans, but also from the Trump administration and their real lackluster defense of this man. Still really peeved about that. However, with General H.R. McMasters, this is a very good pick. So, that's good news on that front. Okay, so, going into this segment. So, PewDiePie, YouTube's biggest star. Real name is Felix Shellberg. So, recently, Mr. Shellberg was outed by these three Wall Street Journal editors, or no, not editors, but just quote-unquote journalists. They're definitely not deserving of the title of journalist, these clowns here. But so PewDiePie, Felix Shellberg, he made a video, and he's made several videos. The guy's a comedian. Now, a little disclaimer, I personally don't watch any of his videos. I don't really care for him. But I'm not going to stand by while the mainstream media tries to destroy the livelihood of an individual. And this guy's done nothing wrong. He was making, so he made some jokes on the Nazis and Nazi Germany and white supremacy and all that. He's made jokes on them. Like, that's never happened before. Did they just forget about all the jokes from Toppling Towers and Monty Python, like John Cleese with his Mr. Hilter skit? Or Mel Brooks with his, what, Springtime for Hitler? I mean, good grief. And Mel Brooks has made Jew jokes in every single movie he's ever done. And Mel Brooks is Jewish. This is the problem, is that these regressive leftists, they have no sense of humor whatsoever. Yeah, it's so annoying. And so, PewDiePie here, he's now being smeared by the media, in particular the Wall Street Journal. And he's lost his contract with Disney. This is the man's livelihood. This is how he makes his money. And here's one of the main reasons why. The print media, and the Wall Street Journal, you have to understand, is the biggest newspaper in America. And they have roughly about 2 million subscribers. Most of their subscribers are digital, in fact, now. PewDiePie has over 53 million subscribers. 53 million to his YouTube channel. And the Wall Street Journal doesn't like that. They're envious of him because he has such a huge reach. In fact, they even sent these reporters to his home to offer him a platform. Like they have the arrogance to say, hey, we'll give you a platform to speak your piece. As if he doesn't have a massive platform already. That's what this is about. They don't like the fact that the new media and these independent guys like Felix Shellberg there can have this massive reach that the Wall Street Journal could only dream of. So they're out to destroy people out of envy. The sin of envy. That's what this is about. And I'll play Mr. Shellberg's response to the Wall Street Journal. Here, I'll play it here. Roll the clip.
I'm completely self-made, and I managed to become really successful. And I thought, hey, maybe that's something worth celebrating. But no, it always just comes back to the money. Which is funny, because that's something I've never showed in anyone's faces. It's people shoving their faces in mine. I never flaunted with any of it, because I have generally little interest of it. And there you go. That's the title. Wall Street Journal, YouTube's biggest draw, plays games, earns $4 million a year. Money is really all I've ever been acknowledged for. And I'm not saying this to put me on a pedestal. I'm just saying this to show an example. But I literally raise millions of dollars to charities. That's rarely ever spoken about. Now, over the years of me doing YouTube, I become less and less tolerant of the media and what they're saying. If there's anything I learned about the media from being a public figure, is how they blatantly misrepresent people for their own personal gain, even viciously attack people just to further themselves. And if you watch my channel closely, you can tell that it's something that I've really been fighting back on lately. I literally said the media is stupid and that clickbait media is a huge problem, because all they really need is a strong title. That's all that really matters. And the more I punch back, the more I get back as well, is something that I noticed. But is there any hate in what I do? No, absolutely not. Personally, I think they are the ones normalizing hatred, because there is actual hatred out there. I'm just pointing with my hand, calm down. There's actual hatred out there. There's actual issues. Instead of celebrating my show getting canceled, why don't we focus on that instead? Why don't we focus on some real issues? Why is that the way to approach things in 2017? I'm still here. I'm still making videos. Nice try, Wall Street Journal. Try again, motherfucker.
Now, Felix Schellberg is going over, well, three main points. Number one, the American dream. That's what he was able to do, and he feels he should be celebrated for that, but unfortunately, no. We used to celebrate the American dream of being a self-made man and being independent and successful. The second point is that he's bashing on the media, and for very good reason, because he feels, and I believe he's correct, that the media has been out to destroy people that don't buy into their narrative. The media promotes hatred, just like I mentioned in the second segment, how they foment this hatred and violence. And then, three, he's just a guy making jokes. Now, I personally, and I talked about this at the beginning of this third segment here, look, I don't really watch any of his videos. I don't necessarily care for him. But you know what? Out of solidarity and support for the man, I went and subscribed to his YouTube channel. So I would absolutely encourage people to support Felix Schellberg, aka PewDiePie, because the Wall Street Journal and these other mainstream media outlets, here's their thinking. Their thinking is that, hey, if we take out the top guy on YouTube, then that means all these other independent, self-made people on YouTube or other alternate media platforms, well, we can destroy them too. That's what the mainstream media is thinking. And it all goes back to this, the original sin of envy. Okay, well, that's enough about Mr. Schellberg there. Moving on to the next one. This just broke recently. Milo Yiannopoulos. So, Milo was going to speak at CPAC. He was scheduled to be one of the speakers. And CPAC then canceled Milo's event, Milo's speech. And it came out because of this audio clip, this live stream clip that apparently was recorded a while ago. Anyway, go ahead and roll that clip.
And I think the law is probably about right. It's probably roughly the right age. I think it's probably about okay. But there are certainly people who are capable of giving consent at a younger age. I certainly consider myself to be one of them. People who are sexually active younger. I think it particularly happens in the gay world, by the way. And in many cases, actually, those relationships with older men. This is one of the reasons I hate the left. You know, this sort of stupid, one size fits all policing of culture. This arbitrary.
Let him talk.
I'll be quick. This arbitrary and oppressive idea of consent, which totally destroys, understanding that many of us have the complexities and subtleties and complicated nature of many relationships. You know, people are messy and complex, and actually in the homosexual world particularly, some of those relationships between younger boys and older men, the sort of coming of age relationships, the relationships in which those older men help those young boys to discover who they are and give them security and safety and provide them with love and a relationship. reliable and sort of a rock where they can't speak to their parents. Some of those relationships are some of the most...
It sounds like pre-station to me.
Do you know what? I'm grateful for Father Michael. I wouldn't give nearly such good head if it wasn't for him. No. You're misunderstanding what pedophilia means. Pedophilia is not a sexual attraction to somebody 13 years old who is sexually mature. Pedophilia is attraction to children. To children who have not reached puberty. Pedophilia is attraction to people who don't have functioning sex organs yet, who have not gone through puberty, who are too young to be able to and understand culture. The way their body... That is not what we're talking about.
And culture?
Sure, so granted.
You don't understand what pedophilia is if you think that I'm defending it, because I'm certainly
not. I'm not saying you're defending it. I'm saying you're walking the borderline.
That's not what you said. You said I'm defending it.
Okay, fine. I retract my statement, Milo. I retract my statement. I shan't slander you further.
Yeah, now, a couple things about this one. Well, obviously Milo was really skating a line here. I don't personally believe that Milo was promoting actual pedophilia. I would hope to hell not. And it doesn't look like it was. It looks like he was really kind of skirting the line going into... talking about, well, he mentioned young boys. Now, Milo actually went to his Facebook and tried to get an angrily defended that, well, what he really meant was young men and older men, and he said how, I guess, in the gay community, and I didn't know this, but I guess this is a thing where in the gay community they refer to the younger men as boys as opposed to men, but... And then Milo, of course, made a joke... And it was about his own traumatic experience. Here, let's play that.
You know what? I'm grateful for Father Michael. I wouldn't give nearly such good head if it wasn't for him.
Now, I could tell instantly from listening to this that that was obviously a joke. And it was about Milo's own traumatic experience that he suffered as a child. I can tell you something. People often make jokes about their own traumatic or horrific experiences. And it's not because they're terrible people or because they're some kind of sociopath or something. It's a coping mechanism. I remember we used to make jokes, like when I was over in Afghanistan, I was a platoon leader over there. I'd even crack a joke about how, hey, if I get sniped, then hey, everyone else, you can go home and call it a day. Now, of course, that was a joke about me getting shot and killed by a sniper, and obviously that's a terrible thing, and I didn't say it because I'm suicidal or joking my troops about that, but it's a coping mechanism when you deal with a horrific experience, because oftentimes humor is one of the best remedies to depression or a lot of terrible things in life. So, I could tell instantly Milo was making a joke about his own experience, and that's nothing new. Now, in terms of people that are very concerned that Milo is, in this segment at least, appears to be kind of condoning pedophilia, which, just from my personal observation from listening to this, it doesn't seem like that's the case at all. However, I can understand why several people can see that and why they'd be upset about that, and I understand that too. And a lot of people are celebrating, a lot of conservatives and Republicans in general, they're celebrating that Milo's CPAC speech has been canceled. Well, a couple things on that. CPAC obviously is a private organization. They can cancel Milo's speech if they want to, and there's no First Amendment thing. They're perfectly allowed to do that. The other thing, and this is a larger point, though. So, conservatives have been decrying the left for a long time on this issue of no platforming people, or deplatforming. It happens a lot on college campuses, and it happens in the media as well, and in Hollywood, and in politics. When CPAC now, which has decided to cancel Milo's speech, well, guess what? They're deplatforming Milo. Are they not, at least in the slightest, concerned that they're going to be seen as hypocrites for this? They decry being no platformed by the left, but yet they had no problem deplatforming Milo over this soundbite, over what he said. Here's my thing. Look, if Milo actually is guilty of being a pedophile enabler, which again, I highly doubt that's the case, but how about you actually let Milo explain himself? Give him the floor and let him talk, instead of just deplatforming the guy completely. I mean, hell, Milo is not Roman Polanski. He's not Lena Dunham. Okay? So, let's not completely blow this out of proportion. It sounded like to me, from what was being said in there, that Milo was talking about the legal age of consent. He's talking about the dictionary definition of pedophilia. He talked about, well, young boys, and I guess he made a statement later clarifying that he was talking about young men, not boys. And then he was making a joke about his own personal experience. My thing is, let's not deplatform anybody. Let the man talk and let him explain himself. Wouldn't that be better than just shutting him up? Because being deplatformed is exactly what conservatives have been decrying and blasting the left for a long time. Blasting them for censorship. Well, now, CPAC is doing that to Milo. And yes, granted, CPAC they have the authority to do that because they're a private organization. It's not a free speech thing. It's not a First Amendment thing. But again, by deplatforming Milo, that opens them up to being blasted as hypocrites. I'm sorry, I know there's quite a few conservatives out there that don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. If we're going to be an advocate for free speech, you need to be an advocate for free speech. Even the stuff you don't like hearing. And this is one of the key things of real conservatism, is this commitment to the founding principles of this country. No, conservatism is not a evangelical Christian thing. It's not a, from Leave It to Beaver from the 1950s kind of thing. That's not what conservatism is. Conservatism is the belief and adherence to the Constitution and America's founding values and founding principles, and being applicable to all individuals, not groups, not the minority or majority, the individual. And right here, the individual, Milo in this case, is being deplatformed. Well, my suggestion is to stick to the principles of true free speech, let him speak, let him have his platform, and then let it go from there. And if he ends up really screwing himself when that happens, okay, fine. So he does. I'm not a special pleader for Milo. I'm not a special pleader for any of them. But I think it's better to hear it from his own mouth. Let the man talk. Let him say his piece. Than to simply shut him out entirely. Because that's what the left does. And last I checked, we don't want to be like the left at all. Alright, that's enough about my bit for Milo. Alright, well, it's been quite a week, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, this bit right here that I just gave on Milo, and also the bit of information about General H.R. McMaster's, well, that just came out Monday, too. So, like I say, it's been a busy week, and it's going to only grow from there. I mean, we still have Supreme Court, Judge Neil Gorsuch, who hopefully will get on the Supreme Court, and I hope to hell the Republicans in the Senate and the House don't drag their feet. They're planning on going on this break for, what, a week or two? They need to stick to this and hammer this through so we can get stuff rolling. We still got Obamacare, we still got the Supreme Court, we still have a lot that we have to get done, and the left is trying to shut it down at every turn. So we need to power through this. And the usual coward, Paul Ryan, and the other one, Mitch McConnell, those two useless cowards, Maybe for once in their miserable careers, they could actually grow a spine and push through a conservative agenda. We'll see. I'll be here to comment on it. And I'll be covering whatever other crazy story comes up in this upcoming week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Alex Thorson of Thor's Hammer Radio. You can contact me on www.thorshammerradio.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Alex Thorson, at Thorhammer Radio. And I would love to get comments, questions, concerns, anything you'd like to see addressed, and I will address it on my podcast. And I will be coming up with even more of those shorter segments, like the one I did on Conscience of a Conservative. I'm going to be coming out with more. And also, I am a full supporter of the Article 5 Convention of the States. Yes, it has been temporarily halted in South Dakota, I believe, but the fight is not over on that. An Article 5 Convention of the States is the best way to get rid of this bureaucratic, unelected, and unaccountable state, administrative state. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this week's podcast. And again, I'm your host, Alex Thorson of Thor's Hammer Radio. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Face the hammer. Listen to me, baby.